Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
That breaking news, Tennessee radio host Phil Valentine has passed away after a battle with COVID-19.
Recently, Valentine voiced skepticism about the COVID vaccine on his radio show and in tweets. In December of 2020, he tweeted, "I have a very low risk of A, getting COVID, and B, dying of it if I do. Why would I risk getting a heart attack or paralysis by getting the vaccine?" He even recorded a parody song, Vax Man, mocking the vaccine.
Come say the Vax Man. Yeah, I'm the Vax Man.
Last month, it was reported he had COVID. Soon, updates from family and friends indicated how serious it was. Valentine's brother said Phil regretted not being more pro-vaccine and wrote, if he got back on the radio, he would encourage people to get vaccinated. According to family, Valentine fought hard but was unable to beat the virus.
Are you kidding me?
Former South Florida talk show host Dick Farrell, known and beloved by fans for his over-the-top right-wing opinions, has died from complications from COVID-19. On Facebook, Farrell advocated against getting the coronavirus vaccine and was skeptical of Dr. Anthony Fauci and his recommendations concerning the coronavirus. Friends say after contracting the virus, he changed his point of view.
I want to follow up about this bigger story through COVID that we're seeing of conservative radio hosts, anti-mask advocate radio hosts, anti-vax radio hosts dying of COVID after bashing vaccines. Business Insider now reports at least 7 conservative radio hosts and high-profile anti-mask, anti-vax advocates have died from COVID in recent weeks.
As far as I remember, when I went to school, you had to get a measles vaccine, you had to get a mumps vaccine, you had to get, there was a ton of them you got.
You still polio. Have to. In order to go to school, you have to have certain vaccines.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. F*** them, f*** their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
This has happened before. You realize that, right? There was a time in America when a lot of people refused to wear seatbelts. And when the government finally stepped in and said, you have to wear a seatbelt, boy, did they get pissed off.
It is a new seatbelt ordinance. If the town council gets its way, seatbelts will be mandatory for everybody riding in the front seat of a car through Richland.
I'll have to detour the town to get to Kalamazoo. If they pass a seatbelt ordinance, I don't use a seatbelt.
I wouldn't wear my seatbelt. I get caught, I guess.
Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Chris Miller hears it all when it comes to seatbelts.
I hear it's uncomfortable. It wrinkles my clothes. It's not cool.
There's no freedom no more. You don't want to wear it? That's your choice.
Sound familiar? Yeah? All the complaints about seatbelts back then are the same things you hear now about vaccines. I mean, except for the wrinkling clothes. That's a very rare side effect of the vaccines.
The U.S. has surpassed a grim milestone on Monday. The COVID death toll has now topped the death toll in the 1918 flu pandemic.
Biden's COVID policies are fairly popular with the majority of Americans, including his newly announced vaccine mandate, which multiple polls have now shown has majority support. In fact, even a Fox News poll out this weekend found that voters support mask mandates and Biden's new vaccine requirements, whether in businesses, indoor establishments, or schools.
69% of people say that wearing a mask is a good way to help. And 54% of people support mandatory proof of vaccine to enter indoor establishments. The survey found a majority of respondents support mask and vaccine mandates for schools and businesses.
It's always funny to me when Fox conducts an accurate poll that contradicts what their own hosts are telling their audience. That's as damning as the results of their poll. Do you think Joe Biden lives in the basement or a different part of the White House? I mean, their own polling is telling them mask and vaccine mandates are popular with the majority of Americans, and yet their hosts are still saying stuff like this.
If they can force you to take a vaccine that you don't need, what can't they do? Why don't they, I don't know, make you take psychiatric drugs if you're persistently disobedient? Express the wrong view, get a Thorazine shot. Why couldn't they do that? What's the limiting principle on them? In fact, you can imagine a panel of CNN doctors explaining that we'd all be a lot safer if the mentally ill propagandists on the radical right got the treatment they need and stopped spreading their dangerous conspiracy theories. So giving them psychotropic meds is an urgent matter of public health. Does that sound far-fetched?
Why is Tucker so concerned that someone might give him psychotropic drugs? It's awfully specific for him to use as a random example. Did it come up recently, like at his last physical? All right, Tucker, mostly great. Blood pressure a little high. And have you ever thought about Thorazine? Also, if you don't want people recommending psychotropic meds, try to drop that quiet chuckle you did to yourself. You never see a guy sitting on a bench in Central Park laughing at nothing and think, I'm going to go ask that guy for stock tips. We'll say this, though. Cable news ever gets boring for Tucker, he'd make a hell of an improviser because my man knows how to heighten. If they can force you to take a vaccine, what can't they force you to do? Can they force you to take psychotropic meds? Make you wear a seatbelt? Make you put your shoes on at Olive Garden, even though they tell you when you're here, you're family? And then when you try to fill a briefcase with unlimited breadsticks, can they call security? And when you explain to them that if they didn't want people to put breadsticks in their suitcases, they should put a sign up saying as much, can they then roll their eyes and say, let's please not do this again, Mr. Carlson, because it's the same argument you made the last time you were there? And when you say you could put the sign right there and point to the wall behind them and then run for the front door when they turn around only to crash into the hostess station, can they stand over you pointing and laughing? Well, I'm here to tell you they can, because it happened to me last night. Every day, it just becomes clearer and clearer that these guys have no idea what they're talking about. For example, Congressman Madison Cawthorn went on Newsmax last week and said this.
This is the medical apartheid, plain and simple. There's over 100 million Americans who are not vaccinated. I think it's even more than that. And if they want to start shutting down air travel for these people to get around the country, I think that's actually a constitutional violation because you actually have a constitutionally protected right to free, unrestricted travel within the United States of America. And I genuinely believe that what's going on right now is that all that's going to happen if United Airlines and American Airlines and Delta even, if they decide to start requiring vaccine mandates, let me tell you, I'm very confident there will be another air carrier that will come to the field and patriots like myself and you will give them all of our business.
Yes, everyone knows you have a constitutional right to unrestricted air travel. Who can forget Paul Revere's famous words? One if by land, two if by sea, three if by Southwest with a six-hour layover at Chicago Midway. Also, imagine if what he said came true and there was an airline that specifically served the unvaccinated. No frills, no rules, all chaos. At Patriot Airlines, you don't board by group number. You board based on how much you love America. There will be disagreements. Allergic to peanuts? Too bad. We put it in the coffee. And the armrest always belongs to whoever wants it the most. Patriot Airlines, where the arrival gate always has a team of air marshals waiting to make arrests. These guys really think the Constitution says you have the right to get on an airplane unvaccinated and cough all over everyone.
Am I you or are you me?
You are a happy person, full of imaginative thoughts which pour forth constantly. Each day you feel more lovable, more interesting. You become more interested in others. You recognize and accept the friendship that people offer you, for you truly deserve it. You have a deep and sincere respect for yourself and for your personal worth to others. It is easy for you to accept the help and cooperation of others. You see their help to you as an expression of mutual friendship and understanding. You now realize that giving and receiving are two sides of a single coin. You're aware of the trust and confidence you generate in others, and it makes you feel good. You think of yourself as a warm, generous, and loving person. You easily express love and affection, and you find it easy to accept love and approval. You like yourself because you are a friendly and giving person. You accept yourself as a unique and valuable person. You're open, honest, and direct in your relations with people. You recognize that you are exceptionally talented and highly creative. This awareness makes you feel good.
Our democracy is in deep trouble. And I know that thanks to my guests tonight, Bob Woodward and Robert Costa. They've written a truly upsetting new tell-all about the last days of the previous administration called Peril. After reading the book, I think the title isn't strong enough. I suggest renaming it, Now, don't tell the authors, but I haven't finished reading, because I had to stop reading it to keep yelling, Peril is full of things you wish you didn't need to know, like that the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was worried the ex-president might launch a nuclear strike to distract from the election, that our democracy was saved by Dan Quayle, and that the former president's legal team laid out a six-step plan for Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the election. Yeah, it's disturbing, but it's easy to see why they gave the job to Pence. Everyone knows the former president has a hard time taking six steps. Now, I read it. I've read it, and this blueprint for a fascist coup was written by disgraced former law professor and inventor of the side toupee, John Eastman. This Eastman fella told Pence that on January 6th, he could overturn the election results by throwing out electors from seven states. Seven states, that's 15% of the states. Though it does say in the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, offer not valid in Pennsylvania, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. Here's how. Here's how Eastman's evil plan was supposed to work. Pence would throw out those seven states' electoral votes because they allegedly had competing electors. In fact, no state had actually put forward an alternate slate of electors. They were merely the former president's allies claiming, without any authority, to be electors. I can be an elector, Dad! I hereby name you King President Dan the Second. Now can we play catch? Now with those. Next year acting. With those states out of the mix, Pence would have declared the former president the winner with more electoral college votes at 232 votes to 222. Eastman predicted that action would receive howls, of course, from the Democrats. Yes, in fact, it reminds me of Allen Ginsberg's howl. I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness and some douchebag named John Eastman. Now, per the plan, Pence would then say that no candidate had reached 270 votes in the Electoral College, and throw the election to the House of Representatives, where a majority would vote for the former president to win the election, because at the time, Republicans controlled 26 of the state delegations. The bare majority needed to win that vote. That's not winning an election. That's grabbing power by a pussy. But when you're a Republican, they let you do it. The conspirators were confident in the plan, with one caveat. The main thing here is that Pence should do this without asking for permission, either from a vote of the joint session or from the court. Now, luckily, Mike Pence can't do anything without asking permission. Mother, I know this is controversial, but may I please put ice in my water? I understand there's a chance it will make my tummy pregnant. Here's the disturbing detail. The night before the riot, the former president opened a door near the Resolute desk so he could hear his people. He left the door open, the muffled soundtrack of excited screams and yells from his supporters filling the room. That is some serious dictator energy. But listening to a fascist mob is the only way that guy can fall asleep. In fact, on his nightstand, he has a white power noise machine. Heil slumber. Today, sure, why not? Everybody loves a good night's sleep. Now, today, Woodward and Costa appeared on Coffee Joe Morning and the Morning Brew Crew, and Woodward said this about that moment.
It reminded me of Nixon talking to the pictures of former presidents on the wall at a moment as Watergate was cracking open and cracking his presidency. And the equivalent is that Trump isn't talking to George Washington or Abraham Lincoln like Nixon was. He's talking to this mob.
And is this true? I'm being told we've just received a statement from the ghost of Richard Nixon. Hey, Bob, I made you famous. How are you going to do me like that? I'm nothing like that guy. I created the EPA, and this is my real hair. In summation, luckily, wow, the ghost of Richard Nixon. Luckily, the former president's legal team did not count on one thing: some Republicans caring if the United States continues. Like Utah Senator Mike Lee, who said of plans to try and overturn the results in individual states, you might as well make your case to Queen Elizabeth II. Okay, let's ask her. Your Majesty, can they present their case to you?
No one wants to hear it.
This is from yesterday. This is on the So Brazen It's Hard to Believe These Words Were Spoken list. Trump's former economic advisor, a party clown named Larry Kudlow. I'm not sure if this is technically considered to be gaslighting or if maybe there's just a gas leak at his house.
With an extremely divisive Biden, I will tell you, folks, I kind of yearn for the calm, peaceful, orderly, prosperous, America first, around the globe days of Donald Trump. Just saying.
Right. Who can forget those peaceful, prosperous, orderly, and calm days? Genghis Calm, we used to call him. That's how calm it was when Donald Trump was. I think the memory is the first to go. We are learning details about the calm, peaceful, orderly, prosperous days of Donald Trump in a new book by Bob Woodward and Robert Costa of The Washington Post. The book's called Peril. It came out today. It lays out what went down at the White House in the aftermath of the insurrection January 6th. There were some bombshell allegations, including a memo that was outlined by one of Trump's lawyers, John Eastman. So the book says this guy Eastman drew up a six-step plan explaining how Mike Pence should overturn the results of the election. And the steps went like this. Step one, Vice President Pence, presiding over the joint session, opens and begins counting the ballots, starting with Alabama. Step two, when he gets to Arizona, he pretends to have a coughing fit and reaches for a glass of water. Step three, while reaching for the glass, Pence knocks the ballots onto the floor, saying the words whoopsie-daisy loudly so everyone can hear. Step four, as Pence is picking up the ballots, he shouts, hey, what's that over there? Then kicks the ballots from seven key battleground states under the podium. Step five, he asks everyone to check under their chairs for the ballots, And while they're distracted, looking under their chairs, he swallows. He eats all the ballots. Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, all in his stomach. Now, at this point, no one can find the ballots. So Pence explains he has no choice but to declare Trump the winner. And then step six, bangs the gavel, hops aboard Space Force One, and is never seen again. And for some reason, he refused to go along with this plan. The real memo suggested that Pence used the element of surprise. They want him to show up and, without warning, overturn the results of the election, at which, I don't know, without asking permission, that seems impossible for Mike Pence. I mean, look, Mike Pence is a guy who asks if it's okay to go to the bathroom when he's alone, okay? He doesn't do things like that. This guy, Eastman, came up with a hell of an opinion, too. He said, the fact is that the Constitution assigns this power to the vice president as the ultimate arbiter. Right. He's basically arguing that the third base umpire can declare himself the winner of the World Series.
No! Here's what we've learned just this week about the scope of Donald Trump's efforts to cling to power. The reporting yesterday in the New York Times that the Trump campaign knew their conspiracy theories about voting machines were totally baseless before Trump's attorneys began a campaign to spread them all over the country. A memo detailing a detailed strategy to allow Pence to overturn the lawful results of the 2020 election. And a letter from the disgraced ex-president to Georgia's Secretary of State sent last Friday, mounting brand new efforts to intervene in the state's 2020 vote count. It is, again, September of 2021.
No! There is just going to be more that drips out about the extent to which Donald Trump and those working for him tried to subvert and overturn the election. And when people want to talk about what can be done to hold Trump accountable, then we have to start looking at what occurred from the election all the way through January 6th, not just January 6th itself. And when we're learning now that the campaign was aware of that the claims were bogus, that there was an extensive six-point plan by a lawyer to try to convince Mike Pence to overturn the election, and obviously a lot of the revelations in the Woodward and Costa book, it's just more and more evidence that I believe that the Department of Justice needs to investigate now. That January 6th investigation is really focused on the events of January 6th, but the Department of Justice needs to have a separate and overlapping investigation into the Trump White House's efforts to conspire to violate federal laws and to intervene and interrupt and obstruct the lawful election.
There clearly are people in America who believe in establishing euthanasia.
Government program that determines you're going to pull the plug on grandma.
There's a lot of demons around here, apparently.
Very fine people on both sides. A total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
This election was a fraud. It was a rigged election.
60 million Americans think it was stolen.
You'll never take back our country with weakness.
A plan is now underway to use vaccine mandates to take your guns.
I hope that people will not comply by any means necessary. They shouldn't get the shot.
Well, it's one thing to be for limited government. It's one thing to be, as the founders were, for a government of limited, delegated, and enumerated powers. This, however, is beyond political philosophy. This is clinical psychology we have to consult. That clip you just showed is paralyzing with its sheer insanity. I don't know how you reach people like that, Ari. I just don't. Something has happened to a small group of Americans who define their happiness as the unhappiness of everybody else. They're addicted to furiousness. I actually think dopamine is released in the brain when they get angry. They're only happy when unhappy. And I don't know what you do with them besides quarantine them, try and get on with politics without them, because they're not coming back.
Baby is born in another one dies. I was filled with a
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Jim Carroll Band, and the Tape Beatles. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Phil Valentine, Howard Stern, Trevor Noah, Seth Meyers, Tucker Carlson, Madison Cawthorn, Stephen Colbert, Bob Woodward, The Ghost of Richard Nixon, Jimmy Kimmel, Larry Kudlow, Nicole Wallace, Newt Gingrich, Donald Trump, and George Will.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.